Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 28. We're going to start this morning. I've been preaching for a while now on the spoils of war, not the casualties. We've had more casualties than we need. Amen, and we won't, but the spoils of war. And I think we're starting to get the concept of it. We certainly have the concept of how it happened in the Old Testament. But as I've been sharing this, preaching it, sharing it with everybody that'll listen to me, everybody comes down to this one question. It's the same question that I've been asking. Okay, how does that happen today? How do we do this today? And so I've been praying for God to give us absolute instruction about how that this works today. Because in the Old Testament, that's how God blessed his people. That's how they prospered. That's how they grew. That's how they, everything come through the spoils of war. When they built the temple, they had to ask them to quit bringing gold because they had enough. And that's how blessed the people was. Well, all of that came from the spoils of war. But as we've been talking about this, we realize that the spoils of war is more than just an economic boost. The spoils of war have to do with territory. It has to do with people. It has to do with the fact that there are millions of people that belong to Jesus Christ that we have not gathered up. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he said, "Now all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." He was saying, "I won the war." And then he said to the disciples, "Go therefore." What is he saying? He said, "I won the battle. Now go get the spoils. Go gather the spoils." Amen. There's a lot of spoils of war that we have to gather up. We got to get in our mind the concept of gathering. Amen. We think about it as some type of, this isn't some kind of church growth seminar. This isn't some kind of, it's about taking what belongs to Jesus and bringing it back to him. Jesus deserves for people to be saved. He deserves for people to be delivered. He deserves for people to be healed. But he said to us, "Go therefore, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Preach the gospel, and those that believe will be saved, and those that believe not will be damned." He gave us the commission. He said, "In my name, you will cast out devils." What's he saying? He's saying, we get all weird about that. What we're saying is, "In my name, you shall claim back territory that the devil has stolen because they don't belong to him." He's a squatter. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He's a squatter. Everything that's not of God in our lives is a squatter that has moved in and taken territory that belongs to God. Amen. And it's up to us to declare the eviction notice. God's already did it. We just got to move with what he's already declared. So I want to move a step further in this today in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Starting with verse 1 says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all the commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. How many want to be run down with the blessings of the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. I like that concept. It says in verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. I like that. You ever seen somebody get so scared they don't know which way to run? I mean, they just start trying to run over each other. In a lot of villages, we've been in Rwanda, we come walking in, and of course, me and Betty, we're like neon lights there. We come walking in to these villages, and those little kids, a lot of them have never seen white people before, especially with white beards and blonde hair. And we walk in there, and when they see us, they start screaming, "Mazung, Mazung, Mazung." That means white person. And they literally run over each other. They just start running. I've actually seen children turn and run into walls and fall down because they're trying to get away from us. They don't know which way to go. Found out later that the reason a lot of those kids act that way is because the parents told them that white people will eat you. So that's why they act fearful like that. Especially when we come in smiling, all they can see is teeth, you know. Had one little girl about 8 years old one night, all I could see was her eyes sitting over there. It was dark, was in this little house, and hardly any light, one little light bulb way, and all I could see was her eyes. And she was sitting there staring at me. And I asked Augustine, I said, "Why isn't she afraid of me?" Because her little brother was in the back of the house, which all they had was curtains. In the back of the house, just screaming. I mean, screaming about the Mazungs being in his house. He was scared. He was terrified. And she just sat there staring at me. And I said, "Why isn't she afraid?" And so Augustine asked her, "Why aren't you afraid?" Little 8-year-old girl. She replied, and Augustine just started laughing. All of them in the house just started laughing. I said, "What'd she say?" She said, "I fear no man." Woo! Oh, that's my kind of girl right there. Amen. I fear no man. But he said, the enemy will come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord God is giving you. Hallelujah. Everybody saying, "The Lord will bless my business. Bless my income." Amen. It's what it's saying there. All that you set your hand, he will bless you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Brother Colin went there today, this morning. See that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. God is declaring a lifestyle on the people of God if they will listen to him, heed his word, and heed his commandments. Now, if you read the preceding chapters, you see the commandments of the Lord. And a lot of people look at those and say, they're just so controlling and so grievous. And yet, when you look at them, nothing in there is to take anything away from you that is good for you. It's all taking things away from you that's bad for you. It's teaching us how to treat each other. It's teaching us how to treat animals. Teaching us how to live in a good relationship and build good homes. None of it is withholding from us anything that is good for us. It's only withholding for us the things that are destructive. See, God knows us. He knows how we're built. He knows how we're made. He knows what will bless us. And he knows what will curse us. And so he's declaring these today. And a lot of the declarations God's making here, the next verses are the curses that come upon you if you don't obey his word. And they're grievous. I'm not going to go through them all this morning, but in your own time, read through the curses. I mean, it's awful. And you say, how would God do that? What I said a while ago is God knows how life works. So if you don't obey what he says, you come under a curse, but life itself will take away from you. You understand what I'm saying? What's that? Somebody wrote a song that says, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. God is not trying to say, you have to obey me or I'm going to hurt you. What he's saying is, I'm trying to help you understand what a blessed life is. And if you don't live that way, you're going to live a cursed life. Amen. Anybody that's grown up in a home where sin abounds understands the curse of life. Amen. I've had a lot of people say, why would God let children suffer the way they're suffering? God put that in the hands of the parents. It's not God, it's the parents' disobedience that brings curse and pain and destruction upon families and upon children. Amen. Now, I know we don't like to go here because in America, it's always somebody else's fault. Can't be my fault. It's got to be somebody else's fault. And so we live our whole life blaming somebody else and never taking the responsibility to act in a way that'll bless our life. Because it's somebody else did it. This has happened to me because of somebody else. Well, somebody else can do a lot to hurt our lives. But that doesn't mean they're in charge of you today. Amen. There's still a lot of people living under the dictates of those who are not present. I tell people a lot that many times we live our lives reacting to that which is not present. And we punish what is present because of that which is not present. Amen. Think about that. All right. I'm just going to leave that lay right there. All right. Want to look at how this plays out. Turn with me back to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I didn't need that anyway. Oh, yeah, I do. Tam, could you get that? One of these days I'm going to get me a table up here. I'm going to put a recliner up here, you know, a coffee table. I'm just joking. I mean, say I want to gather the spoils of war. You know, today a lot of it's not physical; it's spiritual, and we really don't take into account a lot of the spiritual battles that we fight, and realize that every time Jesus gives us a victory over things like that, He has won a victory and opened up a battlefield of spoils. We just think, well, I made it through that. Thank God for the victory. And that's what the Lord told me when I first started these messages. He said, you're thankful for the victories, but then you leave the spoils laying on the battlefield. And that really gripped my heart. It really challenged me. And I said, God, forgive us. Amen. Forgive us. We've got generations that are laying on the battlefield that need to be gathered. Amen. Generations, young adults, middle age, teenagers, children. We need to stop using the excuse, well, that's just the culture of today. That is not just the culture of today. God called us to change the culture of today. Amen. And people have not changed. The way we deal with things have changed. The way we view things has changed. Amen. So I'm ready to get the big trucks out and start going out and gathering the spoils. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. 1 Samuel 30. How many's ready to go? 1 Samuel 30, verse 20. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Now, I want you to listen how the Bible says this. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. Well, what's the word of God called selfish people? Wicked and worthless. Wow. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For we will heed you, for who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is he who goes down to battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. Now David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoils to the elders of Judah. Now, I want you to notice something. David went and he got the spoils of war. They recovered all that had been stolen from them, but then they also got all of the spoils of the Amalekites. In other words, everything the enemy possessed when they went and won the battle became David's. It became their possession. You see what I'm talking about? We're not talking just about things, you know, a few things changing. We're talking about territory. We're talking about who is it? Who is it that rules over this land? Who is it that has authority? Who is it that has charge? And when we look at David, he not only did he get the spoils, he refused to hold back to those who were not able to go. He gave them spoils, and then he went and dispersed the spoils among 14 different towns. We'd call them towns, cities, villages. All the people that were with him, all the villages that backed him, he took the spoils and blessed all of Judah with the spoils. Amen. So not only did David get blessed, but everybody around him got blessed. Now see, the ones that didn't want to be that way, the Bible calls wicked and worthless. Amen. Some of y'all kind of might see where I'm going here. There's a lot of stuff in the body of Christ today that does not represent Jesus. Amen. Brother Colin summed it up this morning. There's a lot of behavior in churches that do not represent Jesus. Amen. There's a lot of conduct that does not represent who Jesus is. There's a whole lot of selfishness going on in the body of Christ. Amen. A lot of competition, a lot of division. You know what division is? It's division. It means two visions. It means people separating and having their own vision instead of joining together and trying to work for the same vision. I've been praying and I've been talking to pastors in this whole area. I've been telling them I am believing for a move of God so amazing that we can't find enough churches to put people in. Amen. I'm wore out with this seasonal shuffle of the body of Christ. Amen. See, I'm smiling. That makes it all better. The church has come to such a place of possession and possessiveness and control and competition that we have to try to figure out who's going to go to what church now, because we don't have enough evangelism. There's not enough spoils of war coming in to fill the church up, so there's a constant shuffle. A lot of pastors, especially in Springfield, call it the spring and fall rotation. Amen. Why? Because there's not enough new life coming in. And so every time there's a new... Boy, I'm going to get myself in trouble today. Every time some new shiny thing shows up, the body of Christ shuffles around. Runs to see what this new shiny thing is. There's a new anointing. There's a new pastor. There's a new ministry. But the problem is, there's no growth. The pie just keeps getting split smaller and smaller and smaller. We've got enough churches in Branson. I mean, we got a plethora of churches in Branson on every corner, and every one of them's got a few people in them. Boy, I am challenging our culture today, ain't I? Amen. We come in and we talk like we're the only church that's got anything going on. We're the most anointed. We got the best worship. We got the best preaching. There ain't no best. There's different. Amen. Not everybody spits 10 rows back when they're preaching like I do. Some of them are very calm and they deliver the word in a very precise way. Does that mean one's better than the other? No. It means the body of Christ is diverse and we need all of the diversity that we can get. We need apostles. We're a different breed. Amen. Not everybody needs to be like that. We need pastors. We need teachers. We need evangelists. We need administrators. We need helps. And we need their voice. Every voice that I just mentioned needs to be sounding off in the body of Christ. And we need to stop running after our little appetite this week. What's our appetite today? What's my appetite tomorrow? It's like a buffet. We serve the Lord like he's some kind of, what's that, but Golden Corral. We get up and see. Let's see. Do I want salad today? I think I want some of this. And of course, we always migrate to the dessert. Boy, I'm challenging a lot of things today, Anna. Woo! What we have got to get a hold of is that God has blessed us with so much that there is not room to contain it. The body of Christ has got to come to the point where we are trying to figure out how to disciple and how to take care of all of the people that are coming in. Not how we're going to build walls around them. Come on, somebody. We get so desperate. Denominations. People get so desperate, they start preaching. They start insinuating that if you're not part of our fellowship, you probably won't go to heaven. If you don't take communion with us, you probably won't go to heaven. And then there's some come right out and say it. If you're not part of our fellowship, you're not going to heaven. What is that? It's fear. It's the use of fear to try to maintain and hold on to a financial and numerical standard. Wow. See, most preachers won't preach like this because most preachers are trying to get you to, you know, be here. I want you to be here. But I want to see the spoils of war harvested and gathered up to where here is trying to figure out, we're calling up some other church and saying, hey, we got about 25 people we can't handle. Can you got room for 25? Can you disciple 25 people? Come on, somebody. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a body that actually works and understands the blessing of the Lord. We are blessed. I saw this going so much different than what it is. I was really excited about this message. Now that I'm preaching it, it's like, oh, wow. Holy Spirit, you're getting me in a mess. Amen. I was talking to somebody today that's wanting to do full-time, or the other day, wanting to do full-time ministry. Well, I'm really going to meddle now. And I told him, I said, let me tell you what the problem is with ministry in the church today. Everybody is fighting over the same dollar in the same billfold of every person that's just barely making it. And yet we want to build the kingdom of God. And yet all we can do is fight over the same dollar. Every missionary, every minister, all trying to raise money. Man, I am meddling today. All trying to get the same dollar. And yet the body of Christ is like the slaves of Egypt. We sell our life for a wage. Isn't that what we do? We go to work and we trade hours of our life for dollars. So we sell our life to get income. Okay? And most of us are doing pretty good. And I want you to think of it this way. Every time you get a paycheck, you are taking what the devil thinks belongs to him and you're bringing it into the kingdom of God. I want you to get that in your mind, okay? Don't want you to feel bad about it. But most of us are not flourishing in a way that we can just go out and hand out money. Amen. I want to. Amen. Praise God. I want to. Sister Betty won't hardly let me carry cash. I mean, I don't make that. She's not controlling. It's just the cash seems to dissolve in my hands. Because I don't even remember how I got it. I got a $100 bill here a while back and had it in my billfold. I mean, that is never happens. I had it in my wallet. And I went to meet this pastor at a restaurant. This minister from out of state that was wanting to meet me. And I went and met him in this restaurant. And at the end, the Holy Spirit said, you remember that $100 bill you got? Give it to the waitress. And it's like, can I just carry it for a little while? I don't have any trouble doing that. So I took that out. We were talking. And the waitress came back by and was picking up some dishes. And I'd already paid the bill. But she's come back picking up some dishes. And I said, here, and just put it in her hand. She never even said thank you. She just took it, put it in her pocket, walked off, never said anything. And at first I thought, well, that was a strange response. But see, the problem is it was just my job to give it. Amen? Yeah. Man, can I dig my way out of this hole? But we have this concept of, and listen to me, the government, has taken our straw away from us and is now saying, make bricks without straw, go get your own straw. This is not how I saw this going. So, we are struggling to try to keep up with what the demands on our life is without the straw that we used to have. Amen. Amen. I drive a big old Suburban because it's paid for. It's got 340,000 miles on it. And I pulled in and filled that thing up yesterday. Had a quarter of a tank in it. Filled it up and it cost $90 with a quarter of a tank. Somebody took my straw. Now I'm having to go out and gather up straw to make bricks with. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the city. You'll be blessed going in. You'll be blessed going out. And I just want us to break the mentality of slavery today and realize that we are not under the bondage of Egypt. We are under the blessing of God, and we will get what we need when God sees we need it. Amen. And I shared with this person I was talking to, I said, look, I need you to stop thinking about trying to raise the bare minimum to take care of yourself. And I want you to start living like God has you and He will take care of you. And there are spoils out there that have not been gathered up yet. Amen. It breaks my heart to constantly tell people, look, we're tapped out. We've got all the commitments we can handle. We can't handle any more right now, but we're believing for God to increase our bread and our seed for sowing. We're believing for God to do that. Amen. But you know what? I believe that God has a plan and a blessing to where we don't have to worry about being tapped out, because He's going to teach us how to gather up what belongs to God and take it from the devil. I can't dive into a lot of this today. I'm talking to myself right now, okay? You're going to have to back off some of this. Now, David, wow. David was blessed, and everybody around him was blessed. Now, I want you to jump over chapter 31. It says, now the Philistines fought against Israel. This is the same time that David was winning a victory over Amalek, or the Amalekites, which Saul should have taken care of and didn't. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, that guy, and Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Now, Saul ends up dying. But over in verse 8, I want you to read verse 8. So it happened. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. Now, what did it say they came to do? When the Philistines came to strip the anointed ones of God. Saul was anointed of God, but he disobeyed. David was obedient and he sought the Lord. And God caused him to recover all and plus the spoils. Everything the Amalekites owned at that time became the children of God. Saul, on the other hand, had disobeyed. Is she all right? Okay. Saul, on the other hand, had disobeyed. And he died on Mount Gilboa. When afterwards the enemy came and took the spoils of Saul. I want you to notice that obedience caused David to be blessed. Disobedience caused Saul to be cursed. This is what I want you to get out of this message today. Are we going to be those that gather the spoils? Or are we going to be the ones that become the spoils? Many in the body of Christ today are becoming the spoils because of disobedience. There is so much happening in the body of Christ. So much reproach that is coming to the body of Christ. And hang on, because it's just now starting to be revealed. If we're not careful, we are going to get disappointed and discouraged, because we're going to find out that a lot of people that we had confidence in became the spoils of the enemy. Amen. But I say to you today that the body of Christ is rising up in the blessing of the Lord, and we will not be the spoils, but we will overcome the enemy. We will take back what belongs to us, and we will take the spoils, because God has blessed us. Obedience is blessing, and if we obey the word of the Lord, we will be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. We will be blessed. Now, the blessing of the Lord has come upon the obedient, and I believe, listen to me, I believe that we are on the precipice of being able to gather one of the greatest harvests that has ever been gathered in the history of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're going to have to change our mentality. We're going to have to change how we approach things, and we're going to have to begin to believe what the Lord has said to us and believe the word of the Lord. Stand with me today. I do not intend to become the spoils of the enemy. How many can say that with me? Amen. I do not intend to become the spoils of the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I know a lot of you got distracted because our sister, I think she got a spasm in her leg. I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's spasm. Yeah, I thought that's what it was. Amen. Just bless her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your healing power. But I want to focus your attention back on your life with God. Are we walking in a way that blesses us, or are we walking in a way that curses us? And I want us to break our covenant with Egypt and begin to say, you do not rule over us any longer. You know, when they left, they went, they left with a high hand, the Bible says. You know why they left with a high hand? Because before they left, God said, go get the spoils of Egypt. And when they left with the spoils of Egypt. Did you know a lot of Egyptians left with them? It wasn't just Jews. Because there's a lot of Egyptians said, I've seen what happened and I'm going with you. I'm not staying here in Egypt. They're cursed. I've seen the blessing of God on you and I'm going with you. It's like a Muslim taxi driver that we talked into taking us into a place in South Africa that nobody would go. We couldn't get a taxi driver to take us there. So we finally called this one taxi. And he said, where are you going? We said, we'll tell you when you get here. And so we got in a van with him and just started telling him roads to take. He kept saying, where are we going? Where are we going? Well, we just need to go down this road, need to go over here, need to go this way. And finally he said, I need to know where we're going. And we told him, it's Kwamashu. And he said, no. He said, I can't go in. We can't go in there. It's too dangerous. See, the police ride around in armored vehicles and dress like SWAT teams. That's the police department. He said, we can't go in there. It's too dangerous. And we said, yes, we can go in there because God's with us. And he finally agreed to take us in there. And I said, you can drop us off. You can just take us in there and drop us off if you need to. Well, he stayed the whole day with us. We taught the word of God all day. And he sat there and listened. And after it was over with, I went to him and I said, why didn't you leave? He said, oh, no. He said, I'm not going anywhere. God's with you. Amen. He said, I need to stay with you. God's with you. That's what a lot of Egyptians said. We see what's happened. We know you're blessed. I want you to begin to get this in your mind. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. My children is blessed. My family is blessed. Amen. The devil's trying to steal our families, trying to steal our children. But we need to declare today that they don't belong to the devil. They belong to God. And we're not going to take that. Not only are we going to get our families back, we're going to take the spoil of everyone that's connected to them. Amen. Father, we just declare today we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the word today.